This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
If you want to know the top issues from my perspective this year, it's definitely going to be about infrastructure.
That's the new chair of the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee, Karen Bass. Details coming up. Also, the African Union has chosen Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as its new chairman, despite criticism over his country's human rights record. And the death toll from the second worst Ebola outbreak in the DRC has passed 500. And more than two-thirds of girls and young women in Kenya face some form of sexual harassment. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, the new chair of the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Africa's Global Health, Global Human Rights and International Organizations tells VOA she would like to see Western sanctions on Zimbabwe lifted. However, Karen Bass, a Democrat from California, told my colleague James Buddy they should not be lifted when protesters are being beaten and jailed in Zimbabwe. She also says... part of her legislative agenda will focus on supporting the building of Africa's infrastructure, democracy and governance, and humanitarian concerns.
I think that for the most part, U.S.-Africa relations have been a bit of a mystery over these last couple of years from the administration. However, in terms of Congress, Congress has been very active. If you want to know the top issues from my perspective this year, it's definitely going to be about infrastructure and how the U.S. and U.S. businesses can support the building of Africa's infrastructure in terms of roads, bridges, ports, airports. And then looking at democracy and governance, concern about the various crises that happen.
As you know, the African Union Summit is going on right now in Ethiopia. And one of the things they are talking about is the theme of the summit is refugees and how to find durable solutions to forced displacement in Africa.
I think that a great deal of attention should be placed at addressing the root causes, and we know, of course, that a lot of the root cause is conflict, and so resolving those conflicts so populations will not feel that they need to flee, and then addressing climate change so that the climate-related crises that lead to mass exodus will also be alleviated.
In the context of the overall refugees or immigrant discussion, we have people here in the United States from a number of African countries who are immigrants and who have different statuses, immigration status. I think President Trump signed the last, something called temporary protected status. And so I think this coming March, there might be some problem unless something is done with the statuses of these people.
We want to do everything we can to prevent the administration from actually removing people. But I will tell you that the whole world has watched this administration administer very racist immigration policies. And so I'm very concerned about that. And I'm hoping that we can have some better view of this situation and will prevent the removal of thousands of Africans from the United States.
A number of very big African countries have had elections or are about to have elections. One of those countries is Nigeria, whose election is coming up on February 16.
Well, I'm just hoping that the election is peaceful, organized, transparent, and that the Nigerian people will be happy and accepting of the outcome.
On Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe had elections last year, and so there are still problems going on. But one of the concerns in Zimbabwe is the sanctions that were placed on Zimbabwe, former President Mugabe, even the current President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Zimbabwe would like for these sanctions to be lifted. What's your view on that?
I would like for the sanctions to be lifted, too. However, I think what is going on now in Zimbabwe, it would be very hard to lift the sanctions when people who are involved in peaceful protests have been imprisoned, etc.
You are also chairperson of the Congressional Black Caucus. What type of relationship would you be seeking, advocating between African Americans and Africa?
Well, I'm just very, very excited about being in that position and look forward to us being able to have a very strong relationship between the continent of Africa and the Congressional Black Caucus. As everybody knows, the Congressional Black Caucus, definitely sees its roots with the continent of Africa. And this year in particular is a special year because this marks the 400th anniversary from when enslaved Africans were brought to the United States.
That was Congresswoman Karen Bass, the new chair of the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Africa. She spoke with VOA's James Buddy in Washington. The African Union has chosen Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as its new chairman, despite criticism over his country's human rights record and ongoing crackdown on dissent. In an address to the AU's annual summit, Sisi said he would focus on peace and security with mediation and prevention diplomacy while fighting terrorism by identifying those who support and finance it. Egyptian leaders have been absent from African Union meetings since 1995 when an assassination attempt was made on the life of former leader Hosni Mubarak. The AU summit is being held in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa. Nigeria holds its presidential election on Saturday. There are more than 70 candidates for president. However, only two, incumbent Muhammadu Buhari of the All Progressives Congress and former Vice President Atiku Abubakar of the People's Democratic Party, are considered serious contenders. VOA's Peter Cloti is in Lagos covering the run-up to the election. He sat down with Nigeria's Information Minister, Lai Mohammed, to talk about the election process. He starts by asking about President Buhari's prospects for re-election.
I think first and foremost is that in 3.5 years, the president has been able to impact positively on the lives of Nigerians. He's been able to keep his electoral promises. Mr. President campaigned on 3 major issues. He said he was going to address the issue of insecurity, was going to address the issue of corruption, and that he was going to revamp the economy. And because in three and a half years, he had been able to do these three, his campaign is much easier. And those people who have actually benefited from his policies are those who are now coming out to assure him of their votes.
I'm not cutting you short, but several people, including the opposition, have expressed concern about insecurity. You mentioned the fact that significant progress has been made to address those issues. And they are saying that they are not secure and that there appear to be problems. Is Nigeria in crisis?
You see, I think whoever says that they are not secure in Nigeria today is being very dishonest. Now, I think the truth of the matter is that the opposition, having realized that they are going to lose this election, have now contrived to create an impression it's a crisis in the country. There's no crisis anywhere. You are neither in Kwara State. And I think you are behind the last couple of hours. Do you see, a country in crisis? People go about their businesses? Yes, I've explained to you that we are fighting an international terror group. And we're not the only country in the world fighting terrorism. But really, there's no crisis in Nigeria.
That was Lai Mohammed, Nigeria's information minister. He was speaking with my colleague Peter Cloti. In the presidential election, the presidential and national assembly vote is this Saturday. Next month, Nigerians vote for state governors and state assemblies. Ethiopia's native Bethlehem Gromberg is a founder and chief executive officer of UCode Girl, a social enterprise designed to inspire, engage, and equip young women in the community with leadership traits. Her goal, she says, is to empower the future generation with the skills and confidence they need to successfully navigate and participate in this increasingly digitally driven market. Recently, Bethlehem was in Washington, D.C. as a guest of her hometown senator from North Dakota to attend President Donald Trump's State of the Union speech in Capitol Hill. I started out by asking Bethlehem about her background and upbringing.
I've been in the United States for about 20 years. I am from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I graduated at Addis Ababa University with a statistics and computer science degree, and I worked at the UN, United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, as one of the first webmaster. Now I am the founder of UCode Girl, to help young women, like you said, inspire and equip with technical skills.
On your website, it says you made the unnatural progression from software engineer to social entrepreneur to founding a social profit organization. I think intentionally to rhyme with the phrase, you go girl.
Yes.
So talk to us about your organization.
Yes, as a software engineer working in the industry for over 20 years, I found myself to be one in the very few women working in the field, the very few black women working in the field. So I wanted to see more of me in that industry, and I started to research why that is a problem in the big old United States of America. So I found out that girls diverge from STEM fields in middle school and high school as they shy away from it because they think it's a boys thing, or that they don't have role models, or they don't think they're good in maths. So we focus on those three things and demystify computer science as a field where we solve real-world problems using technology, as well as provide them with mentors, other role models, professionals in STEM, that we can match them one-on-one so that they can confidently chart their own pathway to technical careers.
How do you fund this organization?
Yeah, like any other social purpose nonprofit, we have diversified funding streams. So individual donors make up our large list. We have technology companies supporting us in many different ways, in-kind contribution through mentoring and instruction, and also grants.
And you were a part of history yesterday when you actually was a special guest of your hometown senator at the State of the Union ceremony. How did that come about, and how did the senator choose you?
Yeah, it's unreal.
Who is the senator, by the way?
The senator is Senator Hovind of North Dakota, and it just didn't happen from a thin air. Before that, for the work that we do, engaging the young students, I was highlighted in the cover of the Business magazine and won an award as Women of the Year for Science and Technology. And I think that inspired it. Yeah, I think he's also a technology advocate. He has seen me speak at various conferences on the state of technology. So he was impressed because we include diverse voices in the community. We have a number of immigrant populations coming to North Dakota. So I'm leading by being myself.
Anything you're doing in Africa right now?
Yeah, our vision is big. We, as a Bush Foundation Leadership Fellow, we are challenged to think big and to think different. So I would like to make an impact at a global scale. So we've done some outreach programs nationwide. I'm from Ethiopia, so it's a natural progression to help the young women in Ethiopia, women in Ethiopia. I've done some one-week coding camp, but next summer, this summer actually in 2019, mm-hmm. August 1 to 4, there is a conference called ICRC in partnership with a TESFA Foundation. It's called Teach and Serve for Africa. We are going to help 100 young women in high school from all around Addis Ababa learn how to code a drone. So by the end of the program, they're going to fly the drone that they coded.
That was Bethlehem Gronberg, founder and chief officer of UCode Girl, an organization that helps girls fully participate in the digital world. You're listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Twenty past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. The new chair of the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee would like to see Western sanctions on Zimbabwe lifted. Nigeria holds its presidential election on Saturday, and two candidates are considered serious contenders. And the African Union has chosen Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as its new chairperson, despite criticism over his country's human rights record. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The death toll from the second worst Ebola outbreak has passed 500, with aid agency Save the Children warning that it could drag on for another year without urgent action. The international effort to control the outbreak has been hampered by sporadic violence in the eastern DRC, along with the rejection of help by some communities where residents don't believe the disease is causing the deaths. Heather Kerr, country director for Save the Children, said that educating and building trust with youth and community leaders is critical, adding that the situation is at a crossroads. The death toll has hit 510 out of 811 confirmed and probable cases. That includes nearly 100 children. While the fatality rate remains high at nearly 63%, the DRC's health minister, Oli Ilunga Kalenga, says the vaccination program has saved thousands of lives and helped keep the disease from crossing borders. More than two-thirds of girls and young women in Kenya faced some form of sexual harassment in the last 6 months, according to a recent study by the UK-based charity Action Aid. The findings from the online survey of female ages from 14 to 21 in Kenya and three other countries, the United Kingdom, India, and Brazil, uncovered how widespread sexual harassment can be. From Nairobi, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
They turned on to us, they raped us, there were three of them who I reported. The problem again is so that I can get justice. It was hard because the perpetrators are far away.
That's a 26-year-old alleged victim of sexual harassment. It took a while to get the young woman open up to share her story with us. She finally agreed but requested to remain anonymous to protect her identity. Mary, not her real name, claims she was sexually molested by police officers at a police post where she had run to seek refuge after a power blackout at a friend's party.
It was 2017. I went for a birthday party with my friends. After that, there was blackout. Then we ran for refuge with other girls. We went to a nearby police post for security. We went there. Then after that, they turned on to us. They raped us. There were three of them. Then they told us to lie somewhere down there.
Reporting sexual abuse is not always easy for the victims. Official statistics show that only 15% of women and girls who are sexually violated report it to the police. For Mary, she reported the alleged crime, but her perpetrators were never brought to book. According to ActionAid, three-quarters of young women in Kenya have been exposed to negative or offensive forms of sexual harassment. Agnes Kola is the National Coordinator of Women's Rights at ActionAid Kenya.
Sexual harassment is a major issue in Kenya, both urban and rural areas. There are many instances of sexual violence that happen in this country, but many of these instances go unreported.
Caller says negative comments about women's appearance or sexual jokes about girls from those around them, from family members and friends to strangers or teachers, amount to sexual harassment.
What has driven this kind of behavior? There, it's a mix of issues. It could be community perceptions, where a woman is viewed as a property to say a man, so it becomes very difficult for somebody to even see that some of the things that happen to women is violence. There are also things that could affect the way people behave, the substance and drug abuse and peer-to-peer relationships that can influence the way people make decisions or choices around sexual violence.
She says social media continues to be a damaging influence. In the recent survey by ActionAid, more than half of young people interviewed across four countries have seen or heard women being portrayed in a negative or offensive way. But all is not lost. Some groups like Africa Youth Trust, a community-based organization that works with young people in urban informal settlements, are helping communities to deal with the problem. With support from ActionAid and other partners, the group has come up with an innovative toll-free mobile messaging service to help survivors break the silence around sexual and gender-based violence. Jared Omai is a community volunteer with Africa Youth Trust in Mukuru Slums, who operates the SMS platform. He says through the SMS helpline, dubbed 21094, victims are able to report the crimes and get access to justice.
If there is any problem, you just send the word help. And then when I receive the message, I call immediately. So what we do, I call the case manager and then explain for him the story. And then I link them. So the work of the case manager is to work with the survivor.
Evelyn Anyango is a resident and a community worker at Mukuru Slums. She says the messaging service has helped reduce the crimes.
The moment 2094 came, the number has now reduced. And we advise young urban women not to listen to any form of gender-based of violence. If any case the man slapped you or harassed you, you report. So you find perpetrators are very scared.
Anyango says she's worried about being sexually harassed every day. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehis Wuhib in Washington.
I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll discuss measles as countries such as Madagascar and the United States are grappling with the disease. For your questions or comments, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.